Hello, yellow everyone. This is Eddie Destiny Smasher Fetic. Welcome to the Same Sky Cast. Today I've got a special episode to coincide with my BitTrip runner review. I've got Alex Noisy from Gaijin Games. Nice to meet you, sir.
Hey, how you doing? It's nice to meet you as well.
I'm doing pretty great. Could you tell everybody basically what your role is over at Gaijin Games?
Yeah, sure. I'm the big boss man that everyone fears, and when that's not true, which it's not, I guess, I don't think anyone fears me, I'm basically the designer and the CEO of Gaijin Games. So all of the nefarious beats that that gave you game overs and BitTrip, Beat, Core, Void, and Runner, that was me, this guy.
Cool. Have you been around since the very first BitTrip game?
Oh, yes. Yep. I started this company with my partners in crime, Chris Osborne and Mike Roush, and we're still just the three of us sitting here in a room making awesome WiiWare games for everyone.
Awesome. About how often, you definitely seem to be putting them out less than a year apart. Like, how many months is it, like, on average for the development cycle of one of these games?
It's pretty wild. We try to target about 3 to 4 month development cycles.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, give or take a bit here and there, that's what we hit. So it's kind of a breakneck pace, and it's been an interesting experience for us to try to do something so quick. But yeah, that's the development cycle of each of these games.
Cool. So you guys just put out the fourth one, and you've already announced that you are working on a fifth one. Is there like a number that you're aiming for, or are you just kind of roll with it?
Yeah, there are 6 games in the series. There have always been 6 games planned in the series.
Okay.
Ever since the beginning, and basically we're going to wrap the story up by the end of game 6 and you know, and then see what happens after that.
Cool. We'll get to that in a little bit here, but I just want to talk about what was sort of the creative process that went into conceptualizing the series, like the artistic design and like the audio and the sound style and like just the concept. Like, where did this all sort of begin?
Basically, it began with I was thinking about what makes video games video games. You know, sort of how can you boil it down to the smallest and tightest and simplest concept. And as I was talking about that with Chris here, we started to think about super old school games, really, really rough kind of gameplay, but still fun. And I started getting some ideas about a rhythm music series of games. Whether it was going to be a series at that point or not, I wasn't sure, but I had a whole bunch of different concepts together. And I was talking to Chris about it one day, and we discovered our mutual love for chip music, and it kind of clicked at that point where I realized that, okay, we need to make a rhythm music series that's classic feeling or retro feeling and kind of feels and looks like an Atari 2600 game.
And that's where
Mike comes into it, in that I was pitching this idea to both these guys here, and I was telling Mike how awesome it's going to be because it's going to look like an old Atari game. And he basically said, well, you know, we can't make a game now that looks exactly like an Atari game, but what we can do is make a game that feels like what an Atari game might have looked like if they had the tools that we have today. You know, and so
right.
it was interesting, and Mike kind of took the spin on it in terms of visual style. I took my spin on it in terms of design, and Chris took his spin on it in terms of musical interaction and gameplay sensibilities, and basically the three of us worked together to make this dream that I had for an ultra, like, severely retro feeling game, but yet with a modern sort of spin on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that seems to have turned out pretty well for you guys so far, so good work on that. Another question I have about the series in general, from the beginning at least, BitTrip Beat, that seemed like it was, kind of an extension of the idea behind Pong. Does each BitTrip game, like, is it kind of pseudo based off of an old school, like, a game from that generation?
Not necessarily. Although, Well, actually, what I would say is that we're not setting out to kind of remake old classics in the sense of, you know, remaking Pong kind of thing,
right.
And then moving on. But we are definitely inspired by the games and this, like, I'm sorry, I got distracted there for a sec. We're definitely inspired by classic games and sort of the gameplay styles that went into them, the simplicity of those gameplay styles and everything. And so we do look at classic games as we move forward with each of the games. For instance, Pong, like you mentioned, was a huge inspiration for Bittrip Beat.
Right.
For Bittrip Core, there's a very sort of a lesser-known game for the Atari 2600 called Cosmic Arc.
Yeah.
That was a big inspiration. But at the same time, you know, we're looking towards modern games for inspiration, too. For instance, Core was heavily inspired also by Guitar Hero. You know, these types of things. And
right.
And so while we're not setting out to try to redefine or remake any of these games, we are paying attention to what worked well in the past and what was fun and what did we like, and then trying to kind of boil that down to its simplest form and exploit that.
Cool. Now, you're already at work on 5, but do you guys already know, like, what's going to happen with 6 and what it's going to play like? You just have to work your way through 5 to get there, or do you kind of, like, come up with those as you go along?
There's always a little bit of, you know, a little bit of each. Like, we have the general ideas for all the games and what we wanted to do. Like, we had that at the beginning. We knew that Bittrip 4 was going to become Bittrip Runner, and that it was going to be like a rhythm music platformer. We always knew that. And so we've always known what Bittrip 5 was going to be to an extent. But at the same time, they do change. The games change as we start to implement them and we start to see what's fun, what's not fun.
Right.
And then because we've acquired a fan base that we love and that is really active, we also try to listen to what they want and see if we feel it's appropriate to incorporate any of their feedback, too. So while the games do change, we definitely have a goal in mind and a focus as we move forward. So, yeah, we know how the series is going to end. We know the general gameplay style of Game 6. It's going to be awesome. And
I have no doubt.
And yeah, oh, thank you. And yeah, so it's all planned, but plans do kind of veer around it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one of the greatest things about this series is that the Bittrip games have been a very clear example of how with just this generation of gaming, you've got downloadable content games so that you can... It gives a space for small, more independent developers like you guys. I mean, you're like 3 guys in a room, and I'm sure you have other people to help you like publish the games and that sort of thing, but it's basically just 3 guys working in a room, right?
Yeah, basically. On the development side, it's just the 3 of us, and then we contract out all of the music for the game. So we work with a composer at a company called Petrified Productions, and they do all of the in-game music for us.
Okay.
You know, and so that's the whole of the development team. And then we've got the publishing team over at Access Games, and, you know, they go through the publishing and distribution side of things with Nintendo and do some marketing and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. This we couldn't have done this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I tried to do something similar 5 years ago, and we couldn't do it, you know, because back then you had to sort of have a lot of things in place that were hard for an independent developer to get, like distribution models and manufacturing, you know, money and all this crazy stuff. But yeah, like you were saying, with the downloadable content, it's really opened up the market, and I think that we are in a renaissance right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Of independent game developers with crazy ideas, just having fun and kind of bringing back everything that we loved about games, you know, that made video games popular in the first place, that creativity, that wonder, that imagination. So, yeah, I think that we're in a really good place right
yeah,
now.
I definitely agree. I know a lot of people in the gaming community tend to be kind of jaded or pessimistic and feel like games aren't as good as they were back in the golden age, but I've been a gamer since I was 5 years old. It's been 17, 18 years I've been playing games now, and I haven't been happier as a gamer with how much quantity and variety and quality there is out there, and obviously you guys are part of that on this sort of independent gaming side of things, and I think that's pretty great that people like you have an opportunity to put out these like smaller, more bite-sized chunks of like really imaginative, like original stuff. So that's definitely good to see. Let's actually talk a bit about Runner in particular. Runner is very definitively like different than the first three in its visual style and even in kind of the way it plays. Could you maybe sort of talk about why you decided to do that in particular with this one?
Absolutely. So the series has been building up at the, up to this point in BitTrip Runner, where we've developed Commander Video as a concept. We've developed him as a person. As a corporeal form, we've developed him as sort of an emotional or a mental entity. These are the first three games. And now we're developing him as somebody who exists in the real world, who is facing real world challenges and taking the world by storm. And so that's what BitTrip Runner represents, is Commander Video kind of not taking no for an answer and running like hell and just saying, I'm going for it, nothing can stop me. And try and try again until I succeed. And it's basically the culmination of a person's growth as they grow into adulthood and go out into the world on their own.
Yeah.
So that's really what Runner is kind of about.
Cool. I mean, that stuff is even reflective in a lot of the gameplay, because not only does it look drastically different, I mean, there's actually this fully realized sort of world. It's not just some pixels that are moving around. It's like, it's conceptualized as a world that is pixelated, like in three dimensions. So it has that, you know, there's that's obviously different. But also you are actually controlling as Commander Video, like as a being, like as a person and not like a shape or what have you. And then on top of that, the game structure is also different. You have three levels, but each level is broken up into a bunch of smaller ones, and each of those levels has like a bonus section if you get all of the sort of gold pieces in it. And then even on top of that, whereas in the first three BitTrip games, when you were failing, you would sort of degrade your status until everything became black and white and kind of soundless almost, whereas in this one, when you mess up, you just go back to the level and you just start it straight over again.
Yeah.
So,
and that's... Well, I was just going to interject there.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason that is because this game is teaching Commander Video, and by virtue of that, the player, that there is no such thing as failure. So the nether mode is gone, because the nether mode does not apply to Commander Video in this stage of his life. So he basically, there is no such thing as failure. There's only progress, and that's the reason behind that.
Cool. Let's talk about the sort of like metaphorical things going on that you've already started touching upon. I mean, from the very beginning of the first one, we got that sort of snippet where you hear this voice saying, "I'm only a man." Is that the line? Like, could you maybe sort of describe, at least through the first four games, what each game represents?
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of that. I do like to leave it open to interpretation a bit.
Yeah, certainly.
For sure, because you know, even though we developed the game, I don't think that we have all the answers ourselves.
Yeah.
The first game is Commander Video kind of being happy-go-lucky out in the ether, sort of life is easy, I'm floating around, I'm bouncing beats, doing my thing, whatever. And at the end of the game, after facing some of these challenges and going through these transitions, he realizes that he is only a man after all. And then in BitTrip Core, he kind of realizes what it means to be that. And the opening cutscene is very scary in BitTrip Core. And I think that kind of shows Commander Video's trepidation at his new form and what he is, what he has become. And Core is all about starting to feel comfortable within those confines, because Core, even though there's more that you can do gameplay-wise, it feels more claustrophobic and more constrained, which is on purpose, because what we try to do is we try to tell the story through gameplay as well as through cutscenes, through music, and through the background art and everything. And so that gameplay kind of kind of shows that Commander Video is struggling with this new thing. And then in Bittrip Void, after the end of Core, when he realizes that he's not alone, he has to kind of come to terms with what that means to be in a community. So in Bittrip Void, he's sort of flexing his mental muscle or his, you know, persona, if you will. And that's represented by the void growing and shrinking, and how cocky do you want to be and risk, you know, to grow bigger, although you can be taken down easier. And so it's finding a balance is what Bittrip Void is all about. And then once he masters all of that, he's ready for Runner. And until he has mastered all of that, he wouldn't be ready for Runner. And I would argue that a lot of players won't be ready for Runner until they've played the first three games either. Even though each game does stand on its own, thematically, I think that you get a lot by playing the first three.
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, having played the first three and having been a fan of this series, it, like, playing Bittrip Runner, I feel like I got more of a sort of, like, emotional impact from it than other people that I've heard talking about it who haven't really played the other games. They just sort of, you know, try that one out. And I feel like that is because it's decidedly different than the first three, and it feels like there's this big step that is occurring within this sort of metaphorical narrative that you have going on. And it
is a big step, you know, for Commander Video as well as for the player.
Yeah, I mean, now that you specifically described how each of the games, how they play, actually directly correlates to this narrative that you have going on, that actually, now that I'm looking back at them, that actually makes a lot of sense. For example, in Bittrip Void, that was the first one where you had analog control, where you weren't constrained to any kind of you weren't constrained.
Right.
And thematically, that is interesting. I didn't think about that until you pointed that out. And then, of course, in Bittrip Runner, you're not a shape. You're this full character per se. And you could argue in a sense that the gameplay in that one might feel constrained in the sense that you're not physically moving your character; he's moving himself. But obviously, you're covering a much like further distance. You're actually like moving through all these levels and worlds. And I just think it's very interesting how you guys incorporate these metaphorical aspects into the actual gameplay itself, and not even just what is being displayed in the imagery. So that's just pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think it is interesting to hear you say that Bittrip Runner did have more impact on you, or you know, it felt sort of deeper because you had played the first three. And that's one of the things that I have been hoping would happen to players, because I think it's really interesting how you can, like, so many video games just throw the player into the experience with, you know, you've got your character is loaded up with weaponry or this or that or whatever, and you're sort of, it's assumed that you care, you know, but
right.
But a lot of times I don't care when I play a lot of games like that. However, here we've taken the time to build a backstory for a character that actually has some depth that forces people to think, like, what is the depth here? Because it's not, you know, 100% evident.
Right.
And so I think that from a storytelling perspective, it's really neat to see the growth of the series, the growth of the players, and the growth of the characters.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Especially with Bittrip Runner, there were definitely some moments during that game in which I, as a player, had this very cool, like, kind of emotional, tactile, like, combination of sensations that the only other game I can think of that has delivered this same type of emotional reaction would be Rez, which was released on the Dreamcast a while ago. That is one of my favorite games ever, and just the fact that Bittrip Runner specifically, there are certain levels of that game that as I was playing through them the first time, like, very definitely, like, resonated the same type of emotions I got while playing that game. And I'm not sure if that would have happened the same way had I not played the first three, because part of it is this sort of building up. Just like in Rez, each level kind of builds up, and you get to the last one, and everything, like, all culminates in the last one. And yeah. I kind of had that kind of feeling while I was playing some of the later levels in this one, where, like, I'm constantly doing all these different actions, and all the sounds are all dancing around, and it's just a very it's a very cool kind of sensation where I feel like I'm interacting with the sound, I'm interacting with the visuals, and it's just I just feel like you guys have it nailed down pretty well so far, like how to elicit these kind of more subtle kind of emotions and feelings within the player while they're exploring and interacting with this kind of this digital medium. So definitely kudos to you guys on that stuff.
Thank you very much. Just wait until you play BitTrip 6, man. if we can pull it off the way that we want to, I think that you're going to be very pleased. And Rez is also one of my favorite games of all time. I've beaten that game just countless times.
Yeah.
And it was a huge inspiration for us as well. And I think that Rez wouldn't have had the same meaning that it does have unless you had played through the first three levels, like, or the first four levels. Like,
right.
Level 5 is so special, especially the end of level 5.
Yeah.
Because you've gone through those other ones.
Right, definitely.
And they're hard, too.
You know,
so the levels are hard, you struggle, and then you start wondering, like, what is this game about? You know, just because you're in
because it. Because you're playing so much of it, replaying the same sections, yeah. That's, I mean, that was definitely happening with me in portions of this title, the BitTrip Runner, because I mean, there's definitely parts as you get into that game that are pretty hard, and you know, you make one mistake, you have to go back to the beginning, but it puts you right back in the beginning. You can go right back to it. So as long as you don't quit, you inevitably are going to, you know, get all the timing down for every section, and it's like this really great sense of satisfaction when you can nail that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And one of the things that I found when I played the game at home the other night when it came out, because I hadn't played it for a while, and I found myself challenged, which was great, you know. And I felt the same way that you felt. Like, I just kept going for it, and I kept going for it. And I was not ever frustrated. I mean, I would kind of get frustrated, like, at myself. Like, ah, crap, I keep messing that jump up, you know, but... Boom,
right.
You're back into it. Oh, okay, I'm running again. Oh, I can do this, no sweat. You know, and then, I don't know, there's something about it that just, that loop, I don't know, works very well for me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, in general, that worked for me, too. There were definitely some portions where I would get stuck for a little while, and I would get a bit frustrated with myself for not being able to get this part down or that part down. So what I would do is I'd put the game down, come back to it later, and all of a sudden I'd be able to, like, breeze through that part.
Yes.
So it's just a... I guess that just sort of speaks toward, like, I don't know, just how at least my mind works, at least with this sort of game in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess everybody listening, when you are playing through this game, if you do end up finding yourself stuck, that would be my advice, is just sort of take a break from it for a little while, come back to it later, and you'd be surprised at, like, how much easier sections might feel. Because, you know, if you're trying too hard and you're not just going with it, that, you know, that can kind of... give you some difficulty, I guess, but...
Absolutely. I had to put it down, too, and come back to it. And I'll tell you what, that's a life lesson. You know, sometimes you're going through a difficult part in life, and you just have to kind of set that issue aside for a few moments, you know, and kind of take a breath. And then when you come back to it and you face it, you realize it wasn't that hard after all. You were just not in the right space to deal with it. And that's one of the things that I love about video games. I have made it to countless final bosses and been banging my head against a wall only to put the game down and then the next morning wake up, beat the boss on the first try, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because what games can teach people is fortitude and resilience and patience and I think that video games in general are starting to lose that. All the games are starting to become so easy, like we're pandering to people.
Yeah.
And a game, kind of by definition, a video game is a challenge, right? So let's keep them challenging. And we can grow as individuals from that. So yeah, I would say that I mimic your advice on that as well.
Yeah, and the BitTrip games are definitely a result of that kind of thinking, because they can definitely be as challenging as a lot of games back when we were younger.
That's true.
So we should probably... start wrapping this up in a bit here. So I, you know, just sort of, I guess I should ask, since I'm sure a lot of the fans of your games are listening, do you have anything you want to say to your fan base? Like, vocally?
You know, I guess what I would say to the fan base is spread the word about the BitTrip series. I think it's a really cool series of games. Also, take a look at some other independent video games that are out on the market. The WiiWare has tons of them, and a lot of them are very good. And I would encourage everyone who is a fan of the BitTrip series to try some of those on, because the more we support the indie development community, the more independent and creative games are going to get made.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's important to me.
Definitely.
Yeah, and also, you know, become a fan on our official Facebook page. It's, you know, just go to Facebook and search for BitTrip. We do contests there and all kinds of crazy stuff. And we love listening to our fans and talking with them and seeing all the art they come up with. All that stuff is really fun.
Awesome.
That's it. Yeah, and thank you so much for buying our games and supporting us. And we really do appreciate it.
Great. I will. I'll be sure to try and post some links to some of your guys' stuff in the description for this.
Great.
And yeah, it was definitely great talking to you. Great to discuss the kind of extra layers that are going on behind this series. I think that's something that video games in particular these days haven't been getting as much credit as they deserve, because they can like have these metaphorical things going on that. That I constitute as, or that I would call art myself, and I definitely consider the BitTrip series in that category of games that can, through, not even through what they're visually or like audio, like what they're showing you or having you listen to, but just through what you're physically doing, as we discussed over this conversation, like the human condition. That's just pretty awesome to see developers, you know, putting into. So.
Yeah, I'm glad it's coming through for players. I value that stuff very highly. And it's nice to talk to somebody else who sees it and understands it. It's a good time.
Yeah, definitely. It has been a great conversation. It was very nice to meet you, Alex. Very nice to
Likewise.
Hear about. Very nice to hear about a lot of the stuff that goes into these games. If you're here at Go Nintendo listening to this, then definitely check out the review for BitTrip Runner, which will likely be just below where you're listening to this podcast. If you want to send me an email, if you want to be in a future episode, you don't have to be a game developer. You can just be a gamer for all I care. I accept anyone on the podcast here. Just send me an email at destiny.smasher@gmail.com. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be having some episodes up with some folks discussing the fighting game genre, so stay tuned for that. And that's about it for today. So thanks a lot for joining me, Alex. It's very nice to have you.
Thank you very much. It was very nice to be had.
And thanks for listening to the Same Skycast today, guys. Later days.